what you want me to be. That's, I trust that's all of our desire today, that I'll be what you want me to be. That's all that matters. Doesn't matter what I want to be, doesn't matter what you want to be, matters what the Lord wants us to be. It doesn't matter whether it's some out front glamorous position or just being what we need to be right where we're at. I think that's a good lesson for us to learn, to be what He wants us to be right where we're at. Just that contentment and the peace that can be there from that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before You this morning and we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy, Lord. We just ask that You would fill us with Your Spirit, that You would give us wisdom, Father, that You would help us be what You want us to be. Lord, say what You want us to say. Fill us with Your Spirit, Lord. Give us wisdom again in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. I want to keep in mind that God is being what He wants us to be through all of this. Verse 23, when He got into the boat, His disciples followed Him. Just looking at this verse right away, just when He got in the boat, the disciples followed Him. Nothing extraordinary here that we see. He just got in the boat, and His disciples went along with Him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves. But Jesus Himself was asleep. This is kind of the heart of what I want to get at today. Jesus was just exactly what God wanted Him to be. So much so that when the storm came, where was He at? He was right where He was supposed to be. Middle of this little boat, and He was asleep. He was perfectly content and at rest and at peace being where God wanted Him to be. I've used to, whenever my children were little, maybe they would be afraid of a tornado or something. And I would often tell them, I said, you know, I would rather be right in the middle of a tornado, being what I need to be and ought to be, trusting the Lord, than to be on some nice sunny beach somewhere with everything surrounding me just perfect in a calm, still sky. Being what you want to be, no matter what the situation, no matter what the storm, no matter what the calm, just being, and just that rest and that peace that offers. You know, oftentimes we get discontent and we get to thinking, well, I want to be doing this or I ought to be doing that. Oftentimes we get the idea, well, I need to be a missionary or I need to be doing something. You know, every one of us is a missionary right where we're at during everything that we do. Every day. You don't have to go some great place to be a missionary. You don't have to go to some obscure destination to be a missionary. You're a missionary right where you're at. And God has things for us to learn right now, right here. Let's go on here. When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and behold, there was a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves. But Jesus himself was asleep. And they came to him and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." He said to them, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith? Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" He got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. The men were amazed and said, "What kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" There is just in amazement, the storm. They woke Jesus up, and he woke up and he spoke to the sea, spoke to the storm, and he said, "Peace, be still." And the men were amazed. This verse that whenever he said to them, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" And I want to kind of turn that around for what I want to speak about this morning. Why are you afraid, you little men of faith? Instead of just men of little faith, they kind of can be the same person, you little men of faith. You know, I want to talk about being a big soul. I want to talk to be about being a bigger man today. So in opposite of that here, Jesus was rebuking them of being a little man, little men of faith. Men of little faith. They saw what he did. You know, Brother Kevin wrote a song that he wasn't with Jesus when he walked all these things. You know, he wasn't with the disciples. We aren't with them. But he's still here, and he's still the same God. And I think one of the things that bring us to being a big soul is knowing that we have a big God. Truly believing that. You know, there's a little saying that I've heard, you know, that says don't tell your problems how big they are, or you don't have to tell God how big your problems are. Tell your problems how big God is. Just turn it completely around. You know, that's where it comes. You know, we can all be weak and complain and talk about to God how big our problems are. Or we can know how big a God is and how little our problems actually are compared to how big our God is. He spoke to the storm, and it just came immediately quiet. And it was amazing to the disciples, and it would have been to us, that who is this man that speaks to the storms? And they just, you know, we could tell the storm to go away, and we just have to wait it out no matter what happens. But Jesus was able to speak to it, and it just went quiet. Not because he needed it quiet or because he was worried about it. He was right where he needed to be. He was right where he needed to be, no matter what. And that's wherever we are is where we're supposed to be. Trusting that we're doing and living out our lives, trusting in this big God that has all things in his hands. That's kind of the outline there of what we're looking at, of knowing that there's a big God. Now I want to put that into some practical areas of our lives. I want to turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those without strength and not just please ourselves." You know, I've noticed in religious circles that usually the person that is most upset about some person with a weakness is a supposed leader or a supposed strong person. Someone that's maybe professed to be a Christian for many, many years, and then some weak person comes along, supposedly, or some new person comes along, and they just about drive them crazy about how many faults this person has, or how many shortcomings this person has. And the Bible tells us, now we who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. You know, several years ago, whenever I was with the Mennonites, there was a man that had came from the streets, and he started coming to church, and he became a member of the church, and for about a year or so, or a year or two, he was there with the church, and there he had his problems, and after a while, there was kind of a conflict between the preachers and this man, and they decided that they were going to put him on probing, or they were going to excommunicate him because of his weaknesses, because he was so, you know, he just didn't quite measure up to the standard. And they asked me about it, these ministers. I was in a little problem myself with them about. And so we were in this meeting, and they asked me what were my concerns. And I shared with them. I said, well, I'll tell you one of my big concerns here, trying to work this out where we can help people. I said, you've got this man that whenever he was a boy, his mother had been married 5 times. He grew up on the streets, and from daylight to dawn, all his mother wanted was him out of the house, out from under her hair. The only time that he got any attention from his mother or any support was whenever he had done something wrong and shamed her and got her in trouble, and then she would just take a belt and chase him, beating him with this belt. No security at all in his home life. Whenever he was 12 years old, he went on a trip with his grandma. And his grandma stopped along the way and taught him how to smoke dope, or smoked dope with him on the way home from a trip. This is the way he grew up. And somewhere along the line, the Lord got a hold of him. Actually, he was in jail. And the Lord got a hold of him. And he decided that he wanted to do what was right. Can you hear it all? Okay, is that any better? All right. Anyway, this man had had a terrible life up to this point. And he was in jail. And he gave his life to the Lord. And so he began seeking, and he wound up coming to the church and was following the Lord. With his struggles, with everything that he had. But yet he was on the verge of being excommunicated because he had a disagreement with one of the men there. And so I told that to this group of ministers. I said, and I gave the account of his life to them, of how he had grown up, and I told him, he's never known a day of security. And I said, and yet every one of you, each one of you, grew up being dandled on your mama's knee, never doubting about your father, never doubting about your mother, never doubting about your family, been spoon-fed this gospel all your life.
said, don't you think that it's, that you could have a little bit of patience with him? And I said, for instance, for 3 weeks he's been over at his home. His back's hurt. He hadn't been anywhere. Hadn't hardly been out of his house for 3 weeks. Has either one, any of you gone and seen him? And one of them said, yes. I went and saw him, and I said, yes, you took him a bill because he owes you some money. What about the rest of you? One of them hung his head and just shook his head and said no. And the other one started crying and said, I don't even know where the man lives. And I thought, maybe they'll hear it. Maybe they'll listen to this. Maybe they could see that they ought to extend a little patience, put a little time in it. Well, the next evening, they excommunicated. Now, we who are strong ought to bear the infirmities or the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. What I'm talking about is being the bigger person here. I don't know how many times I've talked with people, and they come and there's a complaint or there's a problem with somebody else. And maybe the somebody else is supposed to be the strong person. Maybe the strong the leader is the somebody else, and people come and they complain. And most of the time, my advice is, why don't you be the bigger person here? Why don't you be the bigger man here? In fact, you're going to have to be the bigger man here. You're going to have to be the bigger soul here and overlook the weaknesses of someone who maybe should be a lot stronger than you. It's amazing to me how many times you see someone that's new and they begin to see problems, and you tell them, you know, just be patient. And then the person that they've had a problem with comes down on them. And there's no room for patience then. To be the bigger man, to be the bigger person, this now we who are strong ought to bear the infirmities, bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. You see, a lot of times that's all we're trying to do whenever there's somebody weaker than we are that doesn't quite meet up to our standards. We're just trying to please ourselves because we don't want to get dirty. We don't want to be affected by their weaknesses. But the real strength is bearing those infirmities. Just like you do whenever you're doing weight-bearing exercises. You get stronger whenever you do the exercises. Whenever you have the opportunity, when someone fails you, when someone has a shortcoming with you, that gives you the opportunity to be the stronger person, because it gives you an opportunity to exercise these glorious principles that God has laid out for us. Just noticed that a lot of times it's the stronger person who's actually the weaker person. The one who appears strong. You know, weakness. You know, it's manifest in several different ways. One of them is being bullied. You know, we hear about people being bullies. Just always trying to dominate someone. You know what that is? It's usually a weakness. They're trying to cover up something in themselves because they're not strong enough just to let that person be. Complaining shows a weakness. Complaining You know, whenever we're looking at all the brethren and always complaining, it isn't the brother's fault or it isn't the brother's problem at all. It's the complaining person's weakness. We're all going to have storms. We're all going to have troubles. We're all going to have people in our lives that kind of go against us and cause problems to us. And if we're only going to complain about it and just bellyache all the time about it, we haven't grown any stronger. We've just exercised our weakness and become weaker. Be bigger than that. You know, whenever we're always picking, always nitpicking other people, that's not a strength. That's a weakness. Some of these things that we look and we, well, I can see their problems. That's not a strength. That's a weakness. Because you're trying to magnify their problems. Maybe because you have so many yourself that you're trying to cover up. And that's what happens a lot of times. The sad thing is when you have a person that's really trying, someone that needs help and needs encouragement, needs strengthening, and then they've got someone that's just nitpicking at them all the time. That's where you cause someone to stumble. You know, there's whenever there's a young brother or a young sister that's struggling, and a lot of times the reason they're struggling is because they're seeing the things going on that maybe aren't quite right above them. And so they begin to struggle. And then the person that's above them comes down hard on them. Just always nitpicking them. Always just right there, just finding fault with them. And you have to tell the young brother to be strong. You have to tell the young sister or brother, you're going to have to be the bigger man here. You're going to have to be the bigger soul here. And that's good for them. That's good for them. You know, we don't like to have troubles. We don't like to have problems. But it's good for us. And it makes us stronger. It makes us better. It makes it more difficult. And it shouldn't be that way. The stronger should be able to bear the weaknesses of the weaker. But oftentimes it's reversed. Oftentimes we have to tell the weak person to be strong and overlook. You know, that's where we can see that's how God is. You know, His strength, He doesn't have to show off His strength. He's confident in His strength. And that's where we get our courage and our strength, because we're confident in His strength. So we don't have to fix everything. We don't have to have everything just so-so. Because we know that our God can speak to the storm and say, "Peace, be still." And so we can rest in that, whether the storm quiets or whether it rages on. We can rest in that and find peace in that. That's where the big person is. The big person's able to go to the boat and lay down and be asleep during the storm, instead of being on the edge, worried about it, looking at those big old waves. The big person knows that God is bigger than all the problems. He's in control of all those things. A lot of times, it comes down to just to our attitude. Am I going to be what He wants me to be? Am I going to be what He wants me to be? Am I going to go through the storm that he sets in front of me? Am I going to go through the person that's trying to put a stumbling block in front of me? You know, a stumbling block could just be a stepping stone. The old saying, whatever doesn't kill us makes us stronger. You know, when someone sets a stumbling block in front of us, use that as a stepping stone. Be the stronger person and overcome it. And you know, there's such rest in that. There's such peace in that if we'll just let it be. Knowing that our God is bigger than all those things. And just step right over that stumbling block and take another step and just keep on going. That's how we be the bigger man. That's how we be the bigger person. You know that poem that the boys are going to memorize, the young boys are going to memorize, "Oh, what a happy soul am I, although I cannot see, to grumble and complain because I was born blind. I will not, I cannot, and I won't." That's the gist of it. I didn't get it just right. Maybe we'll be better next week. She was a little girl, born blind, couldn't see, couldn't play. But she said, "How happy I am. Although I can't do those things, I'm still going to be happy about it." She said, "I'm able to do and see things they miss because I'm blind." You know, we don't have to be blind to be happy. We can be happy right where we're at. We can be the bigger person in whatever situation we're in, if we will. Now, we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. You see, instead of just trying to please ourselves and make our situation better, look out what's better for the other person. What if the other person does something just is just hardly unbearable? I mean, just being real cantankerous and contrary. We don't like it, so we look out for ourselves and we gripe about it. We complain and we're not going to do that anymore. Or, each of us is to please his neighbor for his good. You know, if someone's cranky to us or mean to us, we can be right back. Or, we can look out for their good. Maybe if someone is short with me, I can be pleasant with them. Maybe someone doesn't appreciate me, I can appreciate them. You can overcome evil with good. And if it doesn't even help them, you can still overcome. But if you fall into the same category as what you don't like in them and you turn yourself into what you didn't like in them, you've both lost. You have an opportunity to be for their good and not just your own. Then it says, "For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me." See, Jesus took it. He took the shame. He took the reproach. He took the embarrassment. He took the ridicule. He took the beatings. He took the death. He didn't have to. He was the bigger man. He could have called 10,000 angels and just wiped them all away. That wouldn't have made him bigger. But taking whatever came, because he knew he was in God's hands, made him a giant. That's how he became the bigger man, the stronger man. That's how he overcame sin, death, and hell. Because he took what was handed to him and he overcame it. For even Christ did not please himself. You know, pleasing ourselves is, I'm going to fix it. Pleasing ourselves is, they're not going to do that to me. Pleasing ourselves is, I don't have to take this. Pleasing ourselves, all those things. And what that makes is a little weak person. It sounds pretty strong, but it actually is just weakness. Christ did not please himself. He became the bigger man and took all of that for our sakes. You know, it's sad, like I said, sometimes that the stronger do things that you have to tell the weaker person that you're just going to have to be the bigger man in this. But it's an opportunity and it's a blessing. And maybe by being the bigger person, the one up there that's not so big, that looks big, maybe they can be helped by it. Maybe instead of just pleasing ourselves, see what the other person needs. Whenever someone's giving you a hard time, giving you trouble, how can I be the bigger person in this? Not so I can be proud about it by being the big guy, but to actually help them. Seek others' needs above your own. Anyone else have anything you'd like to share or add? Pleasing ourselves, whenever looking out for, you know, if someone said something or does something wrong to me, to please myself is to make that right or to set them straight instead of, what do they need in this actually? Maybe it isn't they need set straight. Maybe they just need an example of being a kind person instead of being a cranky one. Please ourselves is to be cranky right back and think we've really shown in the strong side sometimes. Does that help any? Themselves and being patient with someone that didn't quite look just exactly like they did or speak just exactly like they did. I mean, that's the idea. Sometimes the weaker person doesn't know all the little taboos and little things that everybody gets accepted, practice, whatever. And so they're just kind of shunned or put aside or forgotten sometimes. And so then the weaker person has to, instead of being mad about it, pleasing themselves, just have to, well, I've got to overlook those things. Be the bigger man.
this too, to just say, just spend a long time explaining, you know, we get accused or criticized, explain how you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Spend a lot of time. That seems to be pleasing ourselves.
Right. Y'all, part in peace. We'll meet back at 6 o'clock this evening. Lord willing. Yeah.